A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Good morning. And welcome to our brand new series for Lent. It is called Needy. Spirituality 101 is this. There is a God, and it's not you. There's a creator, and we are created. God is completely self-sufficient in himself. God doesn't need anything. But since we are created, it means that we are dependent. We have needs that we must attend to if we are to thrive and to survive. Our whole being is, by our very nature, one vast need. Think about all the needs that you have. Just think of your physical needs. You have the need for food and nutrition. We have a need for water, a need for sleep, a need for shelter, a need for clothes, a need for medical treatment, a need for oxygen. And on top of that, you often need money to pay for all those physical needs. And then there are your emotional needs. You have a need to be understood, a need for acceptance, a need for encouragement. We all, on some level, need meaning and purpose in our lives. We need to laugh, and at times, we need to grieve. We also have a need to work and a need to rest, a need for discipline, a need for silence and solitude. And on top of all those needs, we have spiritual needs. We have a need for God. We have a need for other people. We have a need for healing. We have a need for prayer. You may not think you do, but you do. We are all needy. And God created us with needs. He passes on the responsibility to us to recognize those needs and to care for them. And our own acknowledging and caring for our needs outweighs most other responsibility. And on the surface, that sounds very selfish. But the point is not to be selfish, but to have more to give to others. Because the healthier that you are, the more you have to give away. Think about the instructions that they give on an airplane. And if you're like me, at this point, you kind of tune them out. You ignore them because you know how to put a seatbelt on. But here's what they say at one point. They say that if there is an emergency, oxygen masks will drop from the ceiling. And they tell you, if you're traveling with children, to put your own mask on first before you put the child's on. Why do they say that? Well, they say that because if you pass out, the child can't fend for himself. Then both you and the child will be without air. And then someone else will have to take care of you. If you don't take care of your needs, if I don't take care of my needs, then eventually we will become somebody else's responsibility. If we don't care for our physical health, if we don't care for our emotional health, if we don't care for our hearts and souls, Eventually, we become someone else's problem. Our lack of self-care will inflict damage on the people around us. However, if you do care for yourself, you'll be able then to care for others. So caring for your own needs is really preparation for caring and serving others. Recognizing and caring for your own needs is also essential if you're going to be any kind of leader, if anyone is looking to you as a role model. 50% of leadership is self-leadership. If you cannot lead and provide for your needs, then really you can't lead other people and provide for them. That means that if you're a parent, you can't prepare your children for adulthood if you are not acting like a responsible adult and caring for yourself. If you're a manager, run a small business, or even a large corporation, the best way to lead your people is to lead yourself. Physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. You are the instrument that leads your children, that leads your employees, that leads your company. And if you do not care for yourself, you eventually render yourself useless. Only you can discipline yourself to really care for your soul, to care for your heart, to care for your emotional health. No one else can do that for you. Here's what Jesus says. One time a teacher of the law asked him what was the greatest commandment, and he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus teaches that our ability to love others rests first and foremost on our love and our care for ourselves. Spiritual maturity, growing as a follower of Christ, requires us to acknowledge our needs and take responsibility for them in a healthy manner. Our very neediness also makes us vulnerable to spiritual attack. We are tempted over and over again to mishandle our needs. Essentially, I think there are four temptations we face when it comes to our needs. And the first temptation that we face is to deny a legitimate need, act like we don't have it. That was the temptation of Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve they could eat from any tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when Eve tells the devil that they will die if they eat the fruit, the devil responds, "You won't die. God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." The temptation is to be like a God who does not have to be dependent on God. A part of us rebels at the reality of having needs and of being dependent. Our pride doesn't like to admit that we have needs. Now, we don't deny all of our needs all of the time, but we have a tendency to deny some of our needs. Haven't there been times when you knew in your heart of heart that you needed rest, or that you needed help from someone else, or that you needed to go to the doctor, but out of stubbornness, you just didn't meet the need? And it wasn't until the pain or the problem got so great that you finally took care of yourself. You may even be tempted to deny your need for friendship or help from others. You may be tempted to deny your need to work and be productive. And all of us at times struggle to really embrace and accept our need for God. We think we can do it on our own. And when we deny one of our legitimate needs, we are not moving towards spiritual health, but away from it. Just as it is a symptom of unhealth when a person loses their appetite, doesn't want to eat, it is a symbol of spiritual unhealthiness when we do not accept one of our legitimate spiritual needs. So the first temptation we face is to deny that this legitimate need even exists. Then the next three basic temptations really come from the life of Jesus. Mark, the shortest gospel, probably the most historically accurate, has a frenetic Jesus healing and doing everything and then dying simply on the cross. Mark just tells us the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. And he remained in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was among the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. But if we look in Matthew, Matthew's gospel gives us greater detail about the temptations. Jesus was hungry, so the devil says to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So Jesus has a legitimate need for hunger at this point. And the temptation of the devil was to meet that need, but to do so in an illegitimate way. So the second temptation that we face with our legitimate needs is to meet them in illegitimate ways. We'll be tempted from time to time to do something that we know is wrong, but it may be to meet a real need. For example, we have a need to work and to earn a living. So say you're out of work and you lie on a resume in order to get an interview, or you lie about your capabilities so that you get hired. That's meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. It's taking a moral shortcut to get something that we know we need. The third temptation we face is what I would call a shadow need. Matthew tells us, "The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" This was a temptation for Jesus because it was a shadow of his real mission. Jesus had been given the mission to bring people into a relationship with his heavenly Father. And part of this mission to prove his authority was to perform miracles. And the miracles showed people that he really was sent from God. They showed that he really did speak with authority. So the devil tempts Jesus to jump off the parapet so he could show off his power apart from his mission. Jesus came so that people would follow him and put their faith in him. He deeply felt the need to accomplish that mission. And the temptation of the devil was to chase a shadow of simply getting people to follow him because of some fabulous sign rather than because they really loved him and they had decided to follow him. Jesus was tempted to manipulate people rather than really lead them. So the temptation from the devil was for him to win over the people of Jerusalem by one magnificent sign, to go to Jerusalem and have everyone see him perform this miraculous feat. And it certainly would have won people's attention, but it would not have won their hearts. With our needs, we are often tempted to settle for what is a shadow of the real and the legitimate need. A young woman stays with a guy that has proven that he has no interest in a relationship because it is a shadow of her need for real intimacy. We have a need for rest, but so often people use their vacation time to do things that really don't bring them much rest. Have you ever heard someone say, "I need a vacation for my vacation"? You have a need for healing and a relief from pain. But instead of turning to get real healing, we sometimes turn to things that can numb the pain. We self-medicate rather than finding the real healing. It's kind of like fast food for the soul. You know, it doesn't really provide any nutrition or anything healthy, but it does fill you up for a while. And finally, we are tempted to turn our needs into God's, to make them the whole of our life. And that's the final temptation Jesus faced. Matthew writes, "Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence, and said to him, 'All these I shall give you if you will prostrate before me.'" Jesus had come to have authority over all the kingdoms of the world. And here's the devil telling him that he can have all he came to accomplish if he will just bow down to him for one moment, if he will just treat the devil as if he is God. Our needs scream to us in the same ways. They invite us to make them into God's, to pursue them at all costs. We turn to one person, and we expect them to meet all of our needs in a relationship. So in a sense, we make that person a god. Some people make money their god. We do need money in this world, but some people make that the very center of their existence. Every addict, whether it is alcohol or drugs or whatever, they revolve their entire lives around the object of their addiction. We have needs, and ultimately our neediness will either work for us or against us in our relationship with God. Our Heavenly Father intends that our neediness will drive us to Him and strengthen our bond with Him. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of our needs. I encourage you to commit to this series so that you can better meet your needs. Between now and next week, let me give you a few questions to ponder. Examine your life, your pace of life, and how you're caring for yourself. And ask yourself, if I saw someone that I loved meeting their needs or not meeting their needs the way I am, would I be concerned? Do you want people to follow you, whether it's your kids or your employees at work or students in your classroom? Do you want them to meet their needs in the same ways that you are? Knowing your needs, taking the time to meet them, is not selfish. It is living in the reality that we are creatures. It is absolutely vital to our spiritual health if we are to be the men and the women that God has created us to be.